This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Monday morning. It's November 21st, 2016. Hope you're having a great day and probably getting ready for the big Thanksgiving weekend that's coming up. And wrapping up our coverage on Ave Maria Radio and EWTN of the closing of the Year of Mercy, which of course happened yesterday in St. Peter's in Roma, and it was great to be there. The Holy Father, of course, closing the holy doors, and 20 choirs from around the country came to partake in the Mass, and they were part of the beautiful liturgy, and it was really special for us because we were able to get inside St. Peter's Basilica. There wasn't enough room on the altar because of all the family and friends of the cardinals, the men who were elevated to the position of Cardinal on Saturday during the consistory, but it was really something special being inside the Basilica to have that quiet time before the Mass, and we were right there with all the choirs from the United States, but also right next to the Sistine Chapel Choir, and it was absolutely beautiful. There's some really cool pictures on my Facebook page if you want to check it out, but of course the Holy Father is releasing a special message today. And that's going to be available after 9 o'clock, so we'll try to check that out for you this morning, if not today, tomorrow. And it's dedicated to the Year of Mercy and how to carry out mercy beyond, of course, this November. So we'll be talking about that in the news. In the local hour, though, we're going to revisit an interview that I did with Father Calloway about the power of the rosary throughout history. And I really think Our Lady interceded in this last election. I know many people were praying the rosary like crazy, including myself, that we would elect pro-life and pro-family leaders. And then in our national hour, we are going to be talking to a number of different people, starting out with Ron Harwell, who's got a beautiful ministry dedicated to understanding the dignity of the human person, raising that awareness on an international level. And he also is close friends with Steve Bannon, of course, who was recently appointed to the team of President-elect Trump. And there's some awful things being said about Steve Bannon. What is he really like? And how are we to stand up against the attacks on those who are even remotely right of center? We'll talk about that with Ron. Then we're also going to be chatting about the developments of the pro-life activities around the world with our friend Uju Ikiocha from Culture of Life Africa. She actually came to Rome this weekend, and we had a chance to sit down and chat in beautiful St. Peter's Square and had a nice talk about where she sees the world going in terms of life movements, not only in Europe and Africa, but what she's hoping for here in the United States, as she speaks frequently here in the United States. And then we're going to wrap up with an interview with our friend, Sister Joseph Andrew, of course, from the Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, who had a whole group here from across the USA as well. And they were on a Dominican pilgrimage wrapping up right here in Rome. Of course, they went to many Dominican sites, including Siena for St. Catherine. And Sister Joseph Andrew also has some advice on how to move forward beyond this Year of Mercy and how to make your own pilgrimage and why pilgrimage is so important. Okay, right now we are going to check the news and see what's happening in and around your world on Monday, November 21st, 2016. Mentioned our Holy Father Pope Francis celebrating Mass yesterday in St. Peter's Square on the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe, and the conclusion of the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy. The liturgy began with the Holy Father closing the holy doors in St. Peter's Basilica, the doors which pilgrims pass during the course of the Jubilee as a sign of penance and devotion. In his homily, the Holy Father said, "Even if the holy doors close, the true door of mercy, which is the heart of Christ, always remains wide open for all of us." He said the kingship of Christ in its cosmic, social, and personal dimensions was the main focus of his remarks, he said, to the faithful. Now, as we just mentioned, following the conclusion of the Mass, the Holy Father signed the apostolic letter that will be released today regarding the Year of Mercy addressed to the whole Church. Again, it will be published today as a concluding reflection on the past Year of Mercy. During a press conference last week, pro-life speaker Paul Ryan saying, according to LifeNews.com, that Congress is committed to passing another bill to defund the Planned Parenthood abortion business, which was caught selling the body parts of aborted babies. Hearings have exposed how the abortion company likely violated federal laws to sell the body parts. Earlier this year, Congress approved legislation to defund the nation's largest abortion company. Pro-abortion President Barack Obama vetoing the bill, and the House did not have enough votes to overcome objections from pro-abortion Democrats, who prevented them from reaching a two-thirds threshold to override the veto. In his comments to reporters, Speaker Ryan said Congress will pass another piece of legislation. This bill to defund Planned Parenthood should arrive at the desk of President-elect Donald Trump, who has already promised to sign such legislation into law. Meanwhile, Donald Trump expected to announce new names for his cabinet after a full day of meetings with potential candidates at his New Jersey golf club. Trump meeting with former Republican presidential nominee Mitt Romney over the weekend amid reports he's being considered for a cabinet post.
Far-reaching conversation with regard to various theaters of the world with interest in the United States of real significance. We discussed those areas and exchanged our views on those topics.
The formal rivals greeting each other with handshakes as Romney arrived at the meeting place. It's the first meeting between the two men since Trump's election. Trump also meeting with retired General David Mattis, who is considered likely to be named defense secretary. And Donald Trump's pick for the White House chief of staff says he can't rule out some sort of registry for dangerous Muslims.
What we're trying to do is say that there are some people that are radicalized, and there are some people that have to be prevented from coming into this country.
Speaking over the weekend on NBC's Meet the Press, Reince Priebus saying there would likely be a halt on immigration from some countries and regions until a better vetting system could be put in place. And the president-elect's pick for White House chief of staff also saying over the weekend the president-elect will follow all the laws when it comes to his family.
We will have every I dotted and every T crossed, and I can assure the American people that there wouldn't be any wrongdoing or any sort of undue influence over any decision-making.
Priebus saying that when it comes to Trump's family, possibly running his business, he will make sure everything will be watched closely when it comes to influence in politics. The former RNC chair said that Trump plans to lead the country without distractions. He said that's why the president-elect settled the Trump University fraud lawsuit for $25 million in his meeting with the best and the brightest, such as Texas Senator Ted Cruz, and again, as we mentioned, the former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney. Well, Vice President-elect Mike Pence says he's not offended by comments addressed to him at a performance of the Broadway show Hamilton over the weekend.
I did hear what was said from the stage, and I can tell you I wasn't offended by what was said. I'll leave to others whether that was the appropriate venue to say it.
Pence attending the popular show in Manhattan, where one of the cast members addressed him directly from the stage after the show, saying that many people are very anxious that Donald Trump will be president. Trump tweeted several times about the incident, calling for the actors to apologize. But speaking on Fox News Sunday, the vice president-elect said he'll leave it to others to decide if the stage was a proper venue, Pence saying he knows it's a difficult time for people, and he promises them that the candidate who won the election will be a president for all people. The man who would like to help lead the Democrats says his party didn't focus enough on economics in the presidential election.
We were talking a lot about issues that weren't deeply economic, and I think that provided a huge opening for Donald Trump to come in, and that led to the disaster that happened.
Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan telling CNN's State of the Union that not addressing the concerns of working people allowed Republican Donald Trump to slip in and win the election. He said that while focusing on things like fighting the Zika virus are very important, it's not an issue that resonates across the country. Angela Merkel is seeking a fourth term as German chancellor next year. Merkel announcing her intentions yesterday morning at the headquarters for her center-right Christian Democratic Union Party. She reportedly announced her run earlier to key members of her party in Berlin. A recent poll says she has the support of 55% of Germans to seek her fourth term. She is considered, quote, an outstanding ally by President Obama, helping to guide her country through Europe's financial and Eurozone debt crisis. And the latest trio of crew members are on board the International Space Station.
The Soyuz MS-03 has arrived at the International Space Station, docking occurring at 3:58 p.m. Central Time, 3:58 p.m. Central Time, 4:58 p.m. Eastern Time.
The capsule carrying American Peggy Whitson and a Russian cosmonaut as well as a French astronaut successfully docking with the station yesterday in what NASA described as flawless. The 56-year-old Whitson is serving her third mission on board the station and becomes the oldest woman in space, making history in 2007 when she became the first female commander of the International Space Station. It's a Monday morning. It's November 21st, of course, wrapping up our Rome coverage of the close of the Year of Mercy. And we'll be right back with more Catholic Connection on a Monday morning. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. And on Cresta in the Afternoon, we weekly interview guests who are expert in church doctrine, religious liberty, protecting the unborn, Vatican diplomacy, edifying movies, and much, much more. And we want to make those interviews easier to share with your family and friends. So we're looking for volunteers to transcribe these interviews into text form. They're going to be circulated nationally. And if you're interested in helping, email Nick at ntom@wdeo.net.
Hi, I'm Reno Frazetta with Smart Money Financial. Do you have a life insurance or annuity policy that's come to be neglected? I've been amazed lately at what comes up when I review these for people. Incorrect beneficiaries, spouses that are not included on annuities when they clearly should have been, fees that are double or triple what they were told, and performance that's just unacceptable. I'm getting the sense that this is way more common than I thought, and these plans are just too important to our families. So from now until the end of the year, I'll review up to three of your life or annuity contracts for only $197 so you can feel good again about owning them and be confident that they're up to date and that you've done your due diligence to protect your family. I'll help you make any adjustments or corrections if things aren't right and, if necessary, help you find a replacement. Give me a call at 248-468-4401 or contact me at smartmoneyvillage.com.
Advisory services offered through Prosperity Capital Advisors, a registered investment advisor.
Weingartz, everything from lawn to snow.
Hi, it's Dan Weingartz. Stay ahead of winter storms with one of our in-stock Toro snowblowers. Toro snowblowers are strong and reliable and clear down to the pavement. And with prices starting at just $359, we have a Toro to fit every budget. For more information, visit Weingartz.com or our stores in Utica, Farmington Hills, Cedar Springs, Clarkston, and Ann Arbor.
Weingartz, everything.
Morning. It's Catholic Connection coast to coast and around the globe, because we're everywhere on EWTN. My friend Danielle Bean, brand new book, just came out just a little while ago, You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. I love that title. Good morning, my sister. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so where did this idea come from for this book?
Well, you know what? I realized that a lot of women that I know and love and that I interact with every day through my various work are really hurting. A lot of women are really hurting inside and outside the church. They're feeling bad about themselves. They're feeling abused and betrayed by the people in their life that are supposed to love them and care for them. And they're feeling lost. And I kept on thinking, what do these women need? And the answer is they need Jesus. And they need not just Jesus in some, you know, foreign kind of concept way, but Jesus, the real human being, the man who knows them and loves them deeply and intimately and personally. And so I thought to myself, how can we reach women who are suffering and struggling in this way, who need Jesus so badly? How can we teach them about Jesus is real and his love is real and the ways in which it can transform your life? And then I thought about the women of the Gospels and how they interacted with Jesus. These are people who knew him, who walked with him, who heard his voice, who were touched and healed by his hands in beautiful, powerful ways if you read the stories of the Gospels. So I thought I'll focus on those relationships that Jesus had with real-life women who lived long ago, women just like you and me, women also suffering, women also feeling betrayed and lost and abused sometimes, women who are sinful and women who are faithful and strong. All kinds of beautiful women inside the gospel stories. And so with each chapter of this book, I look at different women and the different kinds of real-life interactions they had with real-life Jesus walking the earth and what we can learn about God's unique love for women from those interactions.
Yeah, it's so important. And what's great about that is it can be each chapter then could be a mini Lectio Divina for the reader to place themselves in that situation.
Absolutely, and that's a beautiful way to read the gospel stories, is to imagine ourselves there, just physically present, and imagine, you know, what it must have been like to hear Jesus' voice or to feel his hands touch you and feel your body healed by his touch. and just to experience that kind of real love. So absolutely, you know, I quote from the gospel throughout the book in just short passages, and it's a beautiful, prayerful thing to do, to just read those passages very, very slowly and just focusing on them and envisioning yourself there inside those gospel stories.
Let me give out the title of the book. We're chatting with Danielle Bean, author, speaker, and also with, of course, the Catholic Digest. You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. And if you have a question for Danielle, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Now, you describe some of the situations that women are in today. Where do you think a lot of the hurt is coming from? Is it they don't feel like they're living up to the culture, what the cultural ideals are? Is it the pressures of work and family? What is it, do you think?
I think a lot of us, in our desperation to be loved, that's what every woman wants at her very core, is to be known and to be loved intimately and deeply. And we look for that sometimes in wrong ways inside of our human relationships. You know, I have young daughters, and I know you work with young people too, Teresa, that this is rampant in our youth culture. Girls who are desperately seeking that kind of love, who are willing to sell themselves out, sell themselves short in 100 different sad, pathetic ways because they're desperate for that kind of love. So they, you know, they might be coming from a broken family situation. They might have a twisted idea of what it means to be loved, but they still have that longing built inside their core for that kind of love. And it's not just young girls who do. You know, I know women who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, sometimes divorced, sometimes from, you know, wounded from dozens of different kinds of failed relationships in this world, who are still looking for that perfect love. And so many of us are longing in that way and yet not realizing that longing you feel is good and it's natural and it's a longing for your Creator. It's a longing for a connection, a deep connection with Jesus. And it's a hole, a void inside of us that only Jesus can fill.
I was just going to say that, because no matter what relationship you have in your life, nothing is going to top and has to start with a foundational relationship with Jesus, or everything else is, you know, it's just not going to work.
Absolutely. I'm in a very happy marriage, and I still need Jesus because,
right,
you know what? Sometimes my husband's a jerk, and sometimes I'm a jerk to him. You know, we're weak human beings, and we fail and disappoint one another. Only God is meant to fulfill us in that lasting way.
Yeah, I don't think your husband's a jerk. I never met him, but I don't think you're a jerk either. Sounds like a pretty neat guy from what you've told me.
He is an awesome guy. And you know what? In the moment, though, everyone who's married knows that in the moment
you're driving me crazy. Right, I guess.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
22 years.
Okay, Dominic and I just celebrated 33.
Wow, so 22-33, that's a very, like, mirror image. I love it.
Of course, we were married when we were two. It was one of those fixed, you know, Italian Catholic marriages, so I'm only 35.
Of course, that's the only way to explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make sense otherwise.
I really love this title, though. It's so important, and I was introducing it off the top of the show. There seems to be these two schools of thought. And by the way, if you want to join in the conversation, Danielle, be happy to take your calls or your questions at 877-573-7825. You know, my book, which, thank you very much, you've advertised for me in your wonderful magazine, Catholic Digest, Beyond Me, Myself, and I. We have this one school of thought out in our culture where everybody, it's all about me, and if I can just take another selfie, or if I can just get that plastic surgery to make sure my selfie looks terrific, and then we start, like the first reading, right, that we had this past weekend at Mass, is all about making up our own rules, entertaining ourselves, it is all about me. And then you go to the other extreme, which is also a huge problem, as you're pointing out, where we don't have any confidence, and we allow others to determine our self-worth.
Right. And I really think those two go hand in hand, because that selfie culture, that image-based culture that you're talking of, is really a front. I think in a lot of ways it's a mask that people put on because they're empty inside, because they're feeling lost and they're feeling empty, and they're looking for that kind of immediate affirmation that can come from all the likes they're going to get on a selfie.
Yeah. But again, going back to the way Jesus spoke to women, the way he related to women, and I actually just gave a talk on Saturday about this in terms of the mercy of God and looking at through the eyes of different women in the Gospels. I love the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. I love that Gospel. There's so much to glean from that. And then, of course, also the whole story of Mary Magdalene and how Jesus, you know, relieved her of the seven demons and what happened with her. And then, I mean, there's just so many examples where we can just say, okay, how did Jesus treat these women? He treated them equally as daughters and sisters. And he taught that he broke the norms with women 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, he was treating women in terms of their intelligence, their dignity, having conversations about serious issues with them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that speaks volumes to today's women who are looking for that affirmation of their dignity and their worth. And in a culture that doesn't often respect that or will treat women like they're you're only as good as you can look sexy in a picture. And Jesus, even, you know, way back in a culture that was even more misogynistic than that, in a culture where the men didn't speak to the women like that, speak to them as equals, where it was wrong for a man to even make contact with a woman, especially during her menstrual cycle, that there was that kind of ingrained anti-woman culture that was deeply woven inside the culture of that time, and yet Jesus defied it. He shocked and scandalized people by putting his hands on women and healing them, by speaking to them as equals, by treating them as if they had dignity and worth every bit as much as a man. So he was a great feminist leader
of his
time, and he's a great feminist leader for today.
And how do we get the book, Danielle?
You can get it on Amazon, or you can go to my website, daniellebean.com, and I've got it all linked up right there for you.
Now, I understand you're working on a study guide as well.
I am. Yeah, we're working on, I'm very excited to be working on a study to accompany this, because this is such a natural topic for women to get together and share with one another about. So I'm making an 8-week study that's going to be designed for use in your parish or in your women's group or in your living room with your best friends. And it's going to have a video portion and also a workbook and a leader's guide that will just walk you through discussing some of these important topics and looking and digging just a little bit deeper together with your sisters in Christ, in looking at the ways in which Jesus loves women with a unique feminine love.
This is, as you were saying during the break, this is really the wave of the future in terms of when you have these books to provide a follow-up format that can be shared.
Right, and I think people are really looking for that in today's world. We aren't so much sitting in our living rooms with our stacks of physical books to pour through. We're wanting to get together with other people and build that kind of community at the parish level. So I had a really great response to my women's study that I designed for my book, Momnipotent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which was a ton of fun to do, and I'm still hearing from women. It's so encouraging all across the country who do the study together, and then even when the study's done, they say, you know what? We still want to get together, and that's just my dream come true, because I really wanted to inspire and encourage women to recognize the value of getting together with other women, because we can encourage and affirm each other in ways that only other women can, and it's important that we get together and do just that.
Well, yeah, I think I told you, and you reached out to one of the leaders in the Archdiocese of Detroit when she found out that you and I were friends. She almost fainted. She was so excited because the women just... The women loved it, and they went through it, and she said it was so easy for her as a leader to bring the program, and they want to do more. So this is perfect. And we see some really, really great stuff out there right now that we didn't have years ago. For example, Dominic and I just shared 2 sessions of the Beloved series, which is going to be airing on EW10. We shared that with our deacon couples for whom we did 2 retreats 2 weeks ago in the Diocese of Green Bay. And when it's well done, and this is what I like about the products we're seeing now, yours and others, is that they are well produced. They're not just talking heads. I mean, mm-hmm. there's good TV production involved. And we have to be able to compete out there.
Absolutely. This is a very media-focused culture, and you don't want to be, you know, the low-quality production that people aren't, you know, you don't have to dress up Jesus, but you do have to dress up the message and be sure that you're presenting it in a professional way, in a way that's engaging to today's culture, especially for future generations. If we want to be at all relevant, we need to be speaking to them in a way that the culture is speaking to them. We need to be enticing and attracting them in the same way that the culture is for negative purposes.
Right, but for Jesus and for the church. 877-573-7825. Chatting with Danielle Bean, her book, You're Worth It, Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You, from Beacon Publishing, working on a study guide that should be out fairly soon, probably within the next year or so. So what else is under your belt besides this study guide? What are you doing in your spare time, as if you have so much of it?
on Catholic Digest. We also at Bayard Inc. publish a couple of other magazines, Today's Catholic Teacher and Catechist Magazine, which is really supporting educators in the classroom, whether it's religious education in a parish program or it's inside of our Catholic schools. It's really at the heart of the mission of Bayard Inc. here in the U.S., which is the largest Catholic publisher, that we're looking to support education of our young people and support those people who are serving inside of our parishes and inside of our Catholic schools, those people like Catholic teachers, like catechists in the classroom, that so often we take for granted, and yet it's such a grueling, demanding job.
Is there a particular part of your ministry that you enjoy the most? For example, I can't make up my mind. I love my radio show, but I also love speaking. I love seeing the public in person. They're both kind of
right.
equal to me. I love television, but I really like the live aspect the best of media. What's your favorite thing to do?
You know what? I love it, and I do have to limit my speaking engagements just because of my family life is very demanding, and my family themselves is very demanding. They want me here.
So go figure.
I limit my speaking. I know. What selfish people.
What's up with that?
What they said and whatever. Yeah. I don't even get it. I just fed them yesterday. But, you know, I love it when I do get that chance to go out and actually meet real-life women who are struggling in the trenches alongside. And I hear from these women every day through email, but nothing beats that in-person connection.
Yeah.
And I love it when I have the opportunity to talk to a young mom who's struggling and hopefully be that message of encouragement and support to her, because I get it. We all get it. We all know what it's like to struggle inside of your vocation, whatever it might be that God has called you to. And I think it's so important that we encourage and affirm and lift one another up inside of those very real struggles.
That's why women's conferences are so great, because they're really uplifting, and women of all different, you know, persuasions in terms of life's work or situations, we all come together and we have one thing in common, our love for the Lord, and it just feels really good to be surrounded by fellow sisters in Christ. I think those are one of the, I was just did one on Saturday, and it's great. I get as much back as I give. I just enjoy doing women's
right.
conferences a great deal. Yeah. Yeah.
I totally agree. There's nothing quite like that estrogen-filled atmosphere when it's all women together. You can let your hair down. You can laugh a little. You can cry a little. You can share the very real struggle. And you come away feeling so edified and lifted up by that.
Yeah. I'm so glad you did this book. You're worth it. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. When I signed my book, Extreme Makeover, Women Transformed by Christ, Not Conformed to the Culture, I sign it, Never Forget You Are a Daughter of the King of Kings, because women do not feel that way about themselves.
Absolutely right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. In this sad, fallen, broken world, all too often, we feel like the opposite of that. That
right.
feels like a joke almost. So we do need that reminder. We need to be reminding one another, and that's really what I've tried to do inside of this book. You're worth it because you're the daughter of a king. That's absolutely the message that every one of us needs to hear. And not just hear, but know it and understand it and feel it deep inside. Because it really is only in knowing how Jesus feels about you, what kind of deep, unique, personal, intimate love he has for you, that you're going to be truly affirmed, that you're truly going to discern your self-worth inside of that relationship.
Amen. So at the end of each chapter, you said you don't have questions because that'll be coming up in the study guide. But you do have a prayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. There's a prayer at the end of each chapter that kind of goes along with the theme of that chapter. And I find it's really helpful. I mean, I compose these prayers just from my own heart and my own thoughts and feelings on the topic. And I tried to keep them very basic and very simple so that even someone who feels that they don't know Jesus, that maybe even prayer feels foreign to them, that this book can be a open invitation to them to begin that conversation with Jesus. However hesitant you are inside of that relationship with Jesus, or doubting it, or feeling like it's awkward or it can't be real, that I'm hoping that these words at the end of each chapter will give each woman something that they can use to begin that conversation with the Lord. That, you know, we don't all have, aren't all born eloquent and knowing exactly how to pray. And for people who haven't grown up with that kind of faith support inside of their homes and family life, it can feel like a foreign thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that these simple, short prayers at the end of each chapter will give women the words they need to begin that important conversation with Jesus.
Well, great job again. Always wonderful speaking with you, my dear friend, Danielle Bean, daniellebean.com. You're worth it. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. And as I said earlier, he's crazy about you. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's right. Danielle, always good to talk to you, sweetie. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. God bless you, Teresa.
And we'll be right back.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. To celebrate the 35th wedding anniversary of Tracy and Teresa Sohn, who were married on this day in 1981. Tracy found compassion in her eyes, comfort in her arms, and eternal love in her heart. May God bless these two wonderful people on this special day. Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shields, on the struggles of compromising that leads to a failure of growing with the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, you really can make decisions that bring clarity. Don't just live with the status quo. Don't just say, well, this is the kind of person I am. These are my strengths, these are my weaknesses. It's fine to say that. But so many of us, I think, feel like, well, this is the way I've always been, or this is my personality, or whatever. To excuse ourselves from confronting, am I really following the Lord, or do I have my feet in two different camps, the world and God, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth? Do I have my two feet in one place, or am I straddling? And if I'm straddling, you're always going to compromise. You're always going to try to find a way through that salves your conscience, but in fact, you're trying to serve two masters. And it won't work. So I want to urge you to take a look. Don't just listen to these readings and say, oh, I should think about this sometime. Think about it today.
Sister Ann Shields gives you food for the journey, weekday mornings at 6:45 and again at 11:30 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
The following is a message brought to you by the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan.
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah wrote these words to the Jewish people who had been forced into exile. They were no longer in their own country, no longer in the Promised Land. We too may feel like those exiles, like strangers in a strange land. So what advice did Jeremiah offer? It was simple. Plant gardens, build houses, get married, and have kids. In other words, thrive. He also told them to pray for the country in which they lived, for its welfare would be their own. When we feel like exiles, we should do the same. Thrive by living in joy. Pray for the welfare of our country, and trust in God's plan for our future and hope. To learn more about biblical advice for our daily lives, visit the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan on Facebook or cbsmich.org.
I grew up always knowing the Ten Commandments. I don't remember the first time I read them. They've always been part of my life. 13 years of Catholic school, growing up in a home with religious artifacts everywhere, including a plaque of the Ten Commandments hanging near the front door, while the laws of life given to us by God have always been with me. However, as I began to read the Bible and understand Scripture, the words of Jesus Christ began to take hold. One day, while reading the Gospel of Matthew, I shook as if reacting to a shockwave. One verse hit my mind like a lightning bolt and ran through my body and soul. I sat thinking about my words and the effects they've had on other people over the years. Because Jesus had said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about it. Are you ready to be judged for your words? This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Just chatting with Father Donald Calloway during the break. We were in Rome at the same time earlier this year, but didn't bump into each other. But he's a wonderful priest, has an amazing conversion story. Of course, he's with the Congregation of Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception and does such great work on the Divine Mercy and much, much more, and of course, on the Rosary. He went to Steubenville for his BA and, of course, studied in Washington and in the University of Dayton. And his favorite saints, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, Guardian Angel, and St. Michael the Archangel. Favorite devotions, of course, the Rosary and Divine Mercy. And that, of course, I'm sure explains, Father, your latest book, Champions of the Rosary. Tell us about it. Good morning. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, this new book that I wrote, Champions of the Rosary, is... it's only been out 2 months, and it's already in its fourth printing.
Wow!
And, Yeah, I know. It's incredible.
Look at you.
I know. I couldn't believe it. And it's just, it's everywhere. I'm hearing from South Africa and New Zealand and all these places where people are getting it. And yeah, it's being acclaimed as the most comprehensive book ever written on the Rosary. It's over 400 pages. It's got the whole history, all the battles, the miracles, the saints, the popes, everything in the book. And it's just catching on and it's going everywhere.
So what was it? I know that you love the Rosary, and I know that Our Lady was so huge in your own personal journey, but why did you decide to dive into the history of the Rosary so much, Father?
Well, you know, I think that right now we're really on the edge of something major globally, and the world has just gone mad. It's nuts out there. There's so much immorality, and everything's been flipped upside down. And if you look at history, you know, the Rosary has played decisive moments in these situations in the past, when we've had radical Islam, when we've had moments of big time immorality and whole countries going after political ideologies and so forth, whether it's communism or fascism or Nazism or whatever it may be, the Rosary has always overcome these things. And so I thought, you know what, we need a book today that's like our marching orders for the persecution that's coming, because it's coming, and we need to let people know about this weapon that we have and the power that it can overcome.
We're chatting, of course, with Father Donald Calloway. His latest book from Ignatius Press, Champions of the Rosary, The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. Father, when we talk about this persecution to come, sometimes people hear those words and they think we're some type of a zealot or a crazy person, and thinking, oh, come on, you know, I can still go to church on Sundays. What's the big deal?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people do think that. They think, oh, that stuff, you know, that happened in days of old, hundreds of years ago, and that couldn't happen today. Well, it's already happening. It's just, it's more subtle today. It's written into laws and footnotes and, you know, little bylines way down in a document that if you speak against a certain thing or a certain gender ideology that's being promoted, you know, in different states and nationwide, you know, you're going to get, you know, fined, you're going to possibly go to jail, and these things are going to become more and more prominent, I fear, and we're going to see a serious, serious manifestation of evil and persecution for us as Catholics. I guarantee it.
Well, I think it's already happening. We just had a lawyer from Alliance Defending Freedom on last week talking about all these different cases against religious freedom. The problem is that we're the only ones, you know, conservative and Christian and other Catholic media, the only ones who are covering these stories. They don't get play in the national press. They downplay them. So we don't hear about them if we're not listening to Catholic radio on. But we have the case in Massachusetts where it's now illegal, if you don't have a transgender bathroom during what could be considered at church a public event, such as a spaghetti dinner or some sort of a fundraiser, or let's say a coffee and donut social or anything really that is open to the public, maybe a festival. And then in Iowa, you've got people there fighting for similar reasons. That's just two examples of stuff that's going on all over the country.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. It's happening. And, you know, we need to be aware of this. And you're right. Thank God for the Catholic, you know, media, like, you know, you and so many others doing so much good. We need to let people know, because they're like the frog in a frying pan. They don't know what's going on, and they're in the fire and they're being cooked, you know.
So in terms of the Rosary, why is it, from a spiritual perspective, so powerful? What does our church say about the power of the Rosary?
Well, the Rosary encapsulates the mysteries of the God-man, and those are saving mysteries. They're sacred mysteries. And so it enshrines those mysteries. You know, it's the Bible on a set of beads. And, you know, everybody knows that you never slay a dragon without a sword. Well, we've got a dragon, Lucifer, a fallen angel, Satan, who wants to devour us, and he's trying to conquer us and our families and everything. Well, we've got to unsheathe this spiritual sword made by God, given indulgences by popes, prayed by every saint in the last 800 years since it came into existence in the 13th century. This is the weapon. This is what we need for our times. And it's tried and true, proven to overcome all these falsehoods. And those are all in my new book. Everything is in that book.
All right, give us some examples.
For example, one of the best ones I love is, there was a guy a little over 100 years ago who was an ordained satanic priest. He was a fallen away Catholic. He got involved in seances, and he became an ordained satanic priest. His name was Bartolo Longo. And it led to depression, anxiety. He was even having suicidal thoughts. And then he found out about the Rosary. And he had a huge conversion, renounced the occult, became a Third Order Dominican, built the world's most famous shrine dedicated to the Rosary in Pompeii, Italy, the last three popes have all been there. And he was beatified in 1980 by John Paul II, and he's on his way to canonization. And, I mean, if the rosary can turn a guy like that, you know, back to the faith and become a saint, there's hope for this lost world.
Okay, and some other examples, your favorites?
Oh, I'll tell you a great one. You know, right now there's a lot going on in Nigeria with Boko Haram, this radical Islamic group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a bishop there 2 years ago had a vision where our Lord gave him a sword, literally. And when the bishop touched the sword, it was transformed into a rosary. Well, that bishop now has been doing a rosary crusade in his diocese. And I just got an email from him a week and a half ago, and because he endorsed my book as well. And he said, Father, Boko Haram is almost entirely gone now. And they've been doing that rosary crusade for 2 years. The rosary works.
Did you see that story that we just posted on EWTNnews.com and the Catholic News Agency about the girls who were in the school, the Catholic school, I think they were in college, and they were hiding under their bed from ISIS. And ISIS actually came in. This was in Iraq, obviously. ISIS came into their rooms and used it. They were using it as a place to hide themselves and also, you know, eat and pray. And they put one of their injured on the bed, and they prayed for protection, you know, praying the rosary and praying for protection to Our Lady. And they said they believe Our Lady blinded them because they went in looking for people and whatnot, and they never saw them, and they remained under those beds for a while, and ISIS never saw them.
That's incredible. That's really amazing. I mean, it's stories like that that inspire us.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we know the story of the power of the rosary with the Immaculate Ilibagiza and her whole story in terms of the rosary. Yeah. So, let me put out the phone number, Father. 877-573-7825. So you give us the champions of the rosary, but also a history of the rosary, correct?
I do. Yeah, the entire history. It took me 2.5 years to collect all the information from libraries and museums and monasteries around the world. And I've got it all in there from the very beginnings of it all the way up to the present day.
Do you think that one of the reasons that we underwent such an attack, especially in the 60s with the sexual revolution, is because there was an effort to suppress the saying of the rosary, or it wasn't a big deal to get away from the formalized prayers and, oh, we don't need that, you know, we're coming into being a modern church, the quote-unquote spirit of Vatican II. I'm wondering what impact that had, the, you know, pushing the rosary aside on what happened in our culture the last 50, 60 years.
Oh, absolutely. That's without question. I've got all that catalog in my book. You know, it's similar to the French Revolution. When they wanted to mock Catholicism, they mocked the rosary. They brought a prostitute into the Cathedral of Notre Dame and had her basically lie naked on the altar as they shouted out to her, Hail Goddess Full of Reason, mocking the Hail Mary. And so it's the same thing in the United States. You know, in 1961, Patrick Peyton, the servant of God Patrick Peyton, this holy priest, got 500,000 people to pray the rosary in Golden Park in San Francisco in 1961. Only a few years later, it was in the exact same park that the sexual revolution began, with the Gathering for Human Being, it was called, which ushered in the Summer of Love. So there's a play going on here between good and evil, and Satan wants to get rid of the rosary because he knows it's that sword that cuts his head off. And so he's very much on the hunt after the rosary.
Now, I can imagine putting out a book like this, you must have encountered some spiritual warfare yourself.
You bet I did. I had my email hacked into, had my one of my accounts on Amazon hacked into. Somebody changed some parts of the manuscript of the release of my book, the date. It was all messed up at the beginning. I was so frustrated, but I just gave it all to Our Lady, and now the book is just spreading like wildfire.
We're chatting with Father Donald Calloway about his latest book, all about the rosary, Champions of the Rosary, the History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. So you said it took you a couple of years to put this all together, Father?
Yeah, 2.5 years it did, and it was a lot of work, but it was worth it.
If you have a question, we have a phone line open, 877-573-7825. Let's go to Fargo, North Dakota, listening with our friends over at Real Presence Radio, and it's Robert listening in Fargo. Hey, Robert.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a quick question. Sometimes I feel like I rely on Mary so much, and I seem to run to her quite often. And I'm just wondering if it's possible to maybe lean on her too much. I feel like I know she's leading me to Jesus all the time, but sometimes I feel like I go to her so often it might overlook Jesus himself. Is that possible?
No, let me put it this way for you. If you're familiar with playing the game of chess, the king is not disturbed or offended that you allow the queen mobility. Remember, he has given her that authority. She's got all the mobility on the board, and everyone knows it, to fight for the queen is to fight for the king. So he set it up that way. It's okay. You know, he's not offended. Just like if somebody were to give roses to my mother and sing songs to my mother, I'm not going to be offended by that. I'm going to pour out a lot of gifts. I'm going to be very generous with them, and I'm going to put them at the front of the bus. So don't worry. You're doing fine.
Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Chatting with Father Donald Calloway on his latest book, Champions of the Rosary. More to come after the break. You can find it, of course, at our EWTM religious catalog, Champions of the Rosary, Father Donald H. Calloway, The History and Heroes of a Spiritual Weapon. Padre Pio always said, get me my weapon. And he, of course, was talking, as I said earlier, about the rosary. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. And on Cresta in the Afternoon, we weekly interview guests who are expert in church doctrine, religious liberty, protecting the unborn, Vatican diplomacy, edifying movies, and much, much more. And we want to make those interviews easier to share with your family and friends. So we're looking for volunteers to transcribe these interviews into text form. They're going to be circulated nationally. And if you're interested in helping, email Nick at ntom@wdeo.net.
Now is a good time to begin thinking about Advent by making an intentional decision about how you'll prepare your heart for our new liturgical season. Our Lady of Grace bookstore has many wonderful Advent reflection books, calendars, wreaths, and candles to choose from. And while you're at the store, begin your Christmas shopping. We're chock full of meaningful, high quality, and special gifts for those you love. We're located in Ann Arbor at US 23 and M14 inside the Domino's Farms Office Park at Lobby C. Visit us at our Lady of Grace bookstore.com or Facebook for hours and directions.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts. Questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord. Our relationship to the church. The precepts of the church. Our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Our nation is preparing to observe Thanksgiving Day, a holiday that makes it clear that we are not self-sufficient, but rather dependent on the God who gives us both our life and our freedom. We thank Him for both, realizing that there is no gift greater than life itself. One of the best ways we express our gratitude for the gift of life is to defend that gift when it is under attack or when its value is denied. This Thanksgiving, I'll be praying for each of you and giving thanks for your efforts to defend life. Let us give thanks that we can be part of the greatest civil rights movement of all time, the pro-life movement. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
It's only been out for just about 2 months and already in its fourth printing, which is amazing. The book is Champions of the Rosary by our friend Father Donald Calloway. 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Go back to the phones. JC calling in from San Antonio, Texas. JC, are you listening on Sirius or on Guadalupe Radio this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, Guadalupe Radio.
Great, great. What's your question for Father?
Hi, Father. Thank you for your inspiration on the rosary. And my question was, or is, Why do we say the Hail Mary 10 times between the decades? And is there an official way of saying the rosary? Because there's a lot of guides out there for a rosary. But if you could explain, is it our Father, the Hail Mary, the Creed, and then the Hail Marys, or between the decades, is there a certain prayer? That's my question, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. No, thank you. Yeah, there's a whole history to that, and basically the rosary comes out of praying the 150 Psalms as like a Marian parallel to that of devotion, and so there was decided to be a break in it so that there could you could have an Our Father between it. So they came up with the decades, and this is what tradition says Our Lady gave to Saint Dominic, that there would be that break, and we pray the Our Father so we could change mysteries. Otherwise, if you just went plowing through Hail Marys, 150 of them, you're going to forget at some point, when do I transition to a different mystery here in my meditation? So that, those decades came into existence like that. And, there are many different forms of praying the rosary, many different types of rosaries, you're right. And my book, I think, will help you on that, because it talks about many of those. You've got the Brigantine Rosary, the Franciscan type of Rosary. You've got all different kinds. But the Dominican Rosary is the most famous one, really the father of them all. And there is kind of a standard way of praying that. And that's in my book, and it's very simple to understand. So thank you for your question. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, JC. Appreciate it. 877-573-7825. Father, if someone was not very familiar with praying the rosary, how would you suggest that they begin and say, gosh, no, I haven't been able to get into the rosary? What would you recommend?
Well, I mean, I would recommend starting off, if you haven't been into it, you're not sure how to do it, you can start off slow. You can start off just maybe doing one decade, just to understand what you're doing. Trying to settle your mind down and your heart to be focused on the mystery. And I often tell people that even with like small children, sometimes maybe you don't want to have them do the whole thing right off the bat, but just a decade at a time, and then you can grow up to that. And then before long, it only takes 20 minutes to pray a rosary well. Everybody can do that during the day. We spend more time in our car or on Facebook, on any given day. So start off baby steps, and then you'll find yourself running.
How powerful is it to do it as a group, as a parish? Because I know right now, for example, wonderful Father John Mercado, one of our EW10 hosts here, started a prayer and fasting for our nation, and they meet every Wednesday and they fast every Wednesday and then break the fast with, of course, the Eucharist, but then they pray the rosary before Mass, and now he's got over 1,000 people a week coming for this every single week through the election. How powerful is that when we do that in a group?
Oh, very powerful. And yeah, Father Ricardo is a great priest. And St. Louis de Montfort says that when one person prays the rosary, it's like a stick against Satan, and it kind of beats him back. But when you have a whole group praying the rosary, it's like you tie all these sticks together, and it's just this unbreakable tree coming at the evil one. And I think that also people need to know that when you pray the rosary in common, you gain indulgences from the church. And you can gain a plenary indulgence every single day if you pray the rosary with other people. And that's powerful. We can be helping souls in purgatory. We can be helping us to avoid sin. So it's very powerful to do that. It's like an army of prayer when you pray it with others.
Hmm. Okay, back to the phones. Debbie has a good question, which I know most of us can relate to. Debbie calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin this morning. Hi, Debbie. Your question for Father?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I love praying the rosary, and I say it every day, sometimes multiple times, but I find myself losing my train of thought, and I get so frustrated with myself. What can I do to get myself more connected?
Well, that's a great question. I think we all struggle with that, Debbie, so thanks for asking for us. Father?
Thank you.
Yeah, Debbie, you're absolutely right. I wonder if any of us have ever prayed a perfect rosary. Even St. Teresa was you, the little flower. She loved the rosary, but she says that she really struggled with her mind wandering. And that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, St. Teresa of Avila talked about that, too, that her mind would wander during prayer.
Oh, yeah, it's fine. So it's normal. We don't have angelic precision. We're going to get distracted. And God understands that. But there are aids that can help us. Sometimes people use little images. There's little pamphlets out there, and I have those in my book as well. That you can, if you're visually looking at an image of, let's say, the scourging or the wedding feast of Cana, it can help you to become less distracted as you're praying it. And then also, I think it's good to remember that when you get distracted, you know, Jesus and Our Lady are not displeased with you. Just bring your mind back to the mystery, and it's like you're showering them with butterfly kisses, you know, like little children. We get distracted, you know. They love us, and they understand we're giving our best effort. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it, Debbie, and you're not alone there. You know, it's part of the human condition.
And I think being honest, Debbie, which you are with God and yourself, that you do struggle with it, that God recognizes that.
That's right.
Right, Father? Thanks for your call, Debbie. 877-573-7825. Wow, I can't believe we only have 3 minutes left. Okay, so their favorite stories as we wrap up the interview this morning, Father.
Well, one is, you know, there's a story that I don't won't have time to go through the whole thing, but the story of Ted Bundy. Everybody remembers Ted Bundy, the serial killer. And, you know, he went on his last rampage in Florida into this sorority and killed a couple girls, and he went into another room to kill another one. But she had fallen asleep that night with a rosary in her hand because she had made a promise to her mother when she went to college. She would pray it every night before going to bed. Well, she fell asleep that night, as often happens when you try to pray it in the evening in bed. But Ted Bundy was repelled from the room, dropped his weapon, and ran. And later it came out when he was on death row that it was because of the rosary. It repelled him from killing that girl.
Wow.
The rosary has power. That whole story is in my book.
How did you find some of these really unique stories that we're not aware of? I mean, some of the stories about the saints we may have heard, you know, over the years or heard on Catholic radio or EWTN. How did you find some of these other stories, like the Ted Bundy stories?
Major research. I mean, I just went in libraries and I talked to priests and nuns and I did all this stuff around the world and got all this stuff in there. Sometimes I had to go through translators and everything, but I got it all in there.
Wow. So it took you how long, Father?
2.5 years.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing. Did you expect it to be as popular as it is so quickly?
No, I didn't. I was actually worried. I thought, well, I've done this. We'll see what comes of it. But I asked Our Lady every day when I was writing it to kiss every page of the book. And I really believe that she did. And so it's bearing tons of fruit.
Is this something you felt that you wanted to do to give back to Our Lady for what she's done for you?
Oh, absolutely. And this is a drop in the bucket of what I owe her. And, I mean, I love her so much. And so this is just my gift, you know, to her and to help other people to come to Jesus through her.
Mm. And so are you doing talks on this now, Father, this book?
Oh, yeah, and I've got some on YouTube, and they're out there. We're going to be making an official one soon, getting it out there.
All right. Well, God love you. Pray for us here at EWTN. Really appreciate your great work, Father Donald Calloway. The book is Champions of the Rosary. It is published by our friends at Ignatius Press, and, of course, you can find it on Father's website. You can also find it at FatherColloway.com and, of course, our religious catalog as well through EWTN.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor. To celebrate the 35th wedding anniversary of Tracy and Teresa Sohn, who were married on this day in 1981. Tracy found compassion in her eyes, comfort in her arms, and eternal love in her heart. May God bless these two wonderful people on this special day.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph, being pious Jews, took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. And to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictates of the law. Now in Jerusalem there was a righteous and devout man named Simeon. He was awaiting the consecration of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he should not see death.